May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there are many occasions in the Book of Common Prayer where we are told that the Christian is in a battle with the world. For instance, in the baptismal office, the one being baptized or the godparents vow to renounce the vain pomp and glory of the world. Shortly after this, the congregation prays that God would grant that he may have power and strength to have victory and to triumph against the devil, the world, and flesh. In the litany, we pray that God would deliver us from all inordinate and sinful affections and from all the deceits of the world. And even in our birthday prayer, which we prayed just moments ago, we pray that God would keep them unspotted from the world. In short, the Christian life is envisioned as a battleground against three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Last week's lessons talked about the flesh, the remnants of our fallen nature, and it's fairly easy to discern our battle against the evil one. But what does it mean that we must battle against the world? Well, first let me say what this does not mean. It does not mean that somehow we are in a battle against the creation, as if the created order is bad and we must be delivered from it. That notion is contrary to the teaching of Scripture. The creation itself is the good work of God. It is my Father's world, after all. It is currently under a curse on account of mankind's sin, but one day it shall be delivered. We are not in a battle against the creation. When we say that we're in a battle against the world, we're really talking about a mindset, a way of viewing life that is contrary to God's view of life. That is, the world has a certain way of viewing life which we are called to reject. Instead, we are to embrace the way of life that God teaches us in his holy word. Our lessons today can help us to begin understanding what this looks like. In both the epistle and gospel lessons, St. Paul and Jesus are both debunking a worldly mindset. The guiding thought in our epistle is where the apostle says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Did you hear that important last phrase where St. Paul says that the world has been crucified to him and he to the world? In essence, he is saying that by virtue of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is dead to him. The particular aspect of worldly thinking and acting that he has in mind is interspersed throughout this letter. In short, the apostle is writing to a church that he planted, warning them against embracing the teachings of some who had come among them to lead them astray. The particular worldly idea that they were promoting was that Christians needed to be circumcised in order to be right with God. In other contexts, false teachers promoted following dietary restrictions and other matters like that to be right with God. Now you may be thinking, but didn't God command some of these things in the Old Testament? And the answer to that is yes. But that needs to be qualified. God never intended that circumcision, dietary laws, or any other commandment would be the ground and basis of being accepted before him. Furthermore, with the entrance of the new covenant enacted through Christ, these matters had been abrogated, set aside. The reason why St. Paul saw these false teachers as being so dangerous is that they were offering another gospel, which was no gospel at all. They were telling Christians that they needed to do something in order to be right with God. But if that were true, then why did Jesus need to come? In their view, you could be circumcised and disregard Jesus and his atoning work. God forbid. Any notion that we can somehow do something for ourselves to make ourselves right with God is worldly thinking. It is the mindset of the world. This principle is embedded in every other world religion in some way, but not in Christianity. Our view is that the only way that we have a right standing before God is through faith in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised for our justification. This is precisely why the apostle responds to this worldly way of thinking with this statement, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." In our gospel lesson, Jesus gives another line of worldly thinking and offers a better way. Our Lord says in his most famous sermon, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Now, when Jesus says Gentiles in this context, he means all of those who do not know God. He says that these folks are preoccupied, yea, even consumed with the things of the world. Beloved, whether we recognize it this or not, this is the air that we breathe in Dallas, Texas, and really all over this world. The default position of fallen humanity is to be concerned with the things of this world. And notice in the context that Jesus is merely talking about food and clothing, something, things that everyone needs. He's not even broaching the subject of houses and cars and the latest electronics that tend to consume us these days. He's simply talking about staples. But Jesus is telling us that none of these things should consume our thoughts and lives. In fact, he offers a better way of thinking, a God-centered way of thinking, if you will. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you." How do we seek first the kingdom of God? Through a life of prayer and worship. Through engaging Holy Scripture to learn how God would have us to live and then seeking to walk in that way. Through serving our neighbors who are in need. Through giving of our time and resources for the extension of Christ's kingdom through the ministry of this church. If you want to be occupied with something, these are the things that should occupy your thoughts and time. And our Lord makes this promise that if we will seek first his kingdom and righteousness, that our food and clothing will be thrown in. He even gives us the examples of birds and flowers to show how God cares for his creatures. Now, as we think on these themes, and this could be applied much more broadly, it's not hard to see how this is a battleground for the Christian. It is so easy to fall into the mindset of the world. We all do it often. So what are we to do? Repent. We are to repent and to order our lives in God's way. We must crucify this worldly way of thinking, that is, to seek to put it to death. And in its place, we're to take up a new way of thinking and living. If we have embraced Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then we are to adopt his view of life. We are to trust in him for our right standing before God. We must not trust in anything that we do. We are called to walk in the way that our Lord Jesus Christ has set before us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and to trust that our Heavenly Father knows how to care for all of our other needs. May God help us to reject the world and to embrace his liberating vision for us. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."